This is Bill O'Shaughnessy. There's always something happening right here at 1460 on New York's last independent community radio station, WVOX and WVOX.com, for you and yours.
's Steve Mayo Show. Latest word from Lou. He'll be back very soon. Might have come tonight, more likely next week, and we will all welcome him back. And more about this later, and I do expect Lou will call in. The Mayo Feliciano Show weekly at 5:30 on Mondays, and we're glad to be with you. That's 5:30 p.m. I know you're conscious, you're awake, you know what time it is, and you know we are here now and regularly at 5:30. There's so much to talk about. As usual, the focus of this show is on government politics, government efficiency, how it affects the locality, WVOX, our station, 1460 AM, is the place to go for coverage of local government services, from the mundane like school closings in the winter to COVID policies and mask wearing and everything else. That's essential, that's great, and that's why WVOX exists, and that's why it's the success that it is. This success, despite the closure, the shrinkage of newspaper coverage throughout the country, even in Westchester County, where the Gannett chain had a very strong presence, shrunk miserably. And very unfortunately, though I didn't like their editorial policy in general, their coverage of the news was pretty good, and it was good to see and good to read. And that's something to be lamented. Also, weekly newspapers, which I've written for extensively and enjoyed and was glad to, another great service of suburban America, but of course throughout the country, urban places too, those have shrunk also, and that's a great shame. So what's the result? Local radio, television, I guess, to a degree, but local radio stands out. It's unique. Support it. You've got to support WVOX, 1460 AM. By tuning into the Mayo Feliciano Show and all the other great programming here throughout the week. Right to the issues, because these are very important to me, but I won't take too long because we have a loyal caller, Bruce Carter, on the phone, and I do want to make sure he gets in and gets his time. But very briefly, the president's performance on the question of Taiwan and China, and Speaker Pelosi's discussed, warned, threatened, whatever you want to call it, trip to visit Taiwan, that very independent, relatively free capitalist nation, 80 miles from mainland China. The president's response has been pathetic and weak and sad. I don't know how you listeners feel about China and Taiwan. I personally wish Taiwan were in the driver's seat. It controlled the mainland, and that little island formerly called Formosa was communist, if you have to have a communist in this theater. But whatever the facts, the great nation of China, 1.5 or more billion people, threatening always to overtake us militarily, whatever you think, I personally think we would whip them, all things being equal, but we're not going to whip them if, heaven forbid, we were forced to have war with them in a small, relatively small theater of operations between China and the island nation of Taiwan. It's not something we should have to go to war over. The Chinese have already threatened it over the proposed visit by Pelosi. In a simple word, I believe President Biden's reaction has been pathetic, and I say this as a patriot, as a lover of our nation, and a respecter of the office of president. I believe if the president were Republican and acting this way, I would say the same thing. And I think congressional Republicans or any conservatives who get up and find this as an opportunity to embarrass President Biden, they should be ashamed of themselves. This is an unfortunate development. I think the controversy, the discussions between Ms. Pelosi and President Biden and or the State Department with this president, you're never sure who is speaking for the administration, the executive branch. It's never clear, and that's a story unto itself. But right now, we have to stand up for American security and American national interests. That means not getting drawn into wars that we're not prepared for, that we might eventually win, but the stakes of which probably are not worth our bothering ourselves about right now. The facts on the ground or in the water are such that China is the big bully in that part of the world, and we're not yet prepared, able to project our great ideals and our great positions into that part of the world. I think with the right conservative president, I don't care if it were Democrat or Republican, it would be a different story. With this unfortunately weak president, I think it's another matter entirely. That's my opinion. And one final point before we get to Bruce. If President Trump had half the brains and half the boldness that he keeps telling us he is, and I'm a person who voted for President Trump twice, I think now's the time for him to play statesman. He'll never regret it. I think he should come out now and say, Pelosi has no business mixing in to foreign affairs. This is the job of the executive branch, presently represented by President Biden. And I stand, here I'm quoting President Trump in my imagination, I stand with President Biden. We don't get drawn into these conflicts. And this administration presents our foreign policy. And a visit by anybody on any level of government is against our interests today. And I say, Ms. Pelosi, stay home. Listen to your president. There can only be one president at a time. I think President Trump's learned that lesson. More to talk about. I'd like to talk about Joe Manchin and his masquerade and other games of government and politics and the sorry state of American federalism. But let's get to our friend Bruce. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how we doing?
Oh, I'm aggravated, but I'm ready for you.
Well, you mentioned Joe Manchin.
What happened? I don't know. Bruce, you there? Okay, Bruce, I'm sure we'll call right back. I do want to get to Manchin. And Joe Manchin, the Senate representative, the senator from the great state of West Virginia. I guess he's moderately conservative. He's sort of middle of the road. But let's face it, he's a Democrat in a conservative state. And he is being, I suppose, threatened and terrorized from the left. And that's why his steps, uneasy as they may be, to be a moderately conservative senator, and in the present case, in the present Washington, helping Republicans keep that divided chamber, the Senate, reasonably conservative, or at least reasonably in the middle of issues. I think you're seeing Joe Manchin at his best or at his worst by signing on to the Chuck Schumer financial package that was just announced a couple of days ago. I think, unfortunately, Joe Manchin is showing his true colors. Lesson, Republicans, don't be dupes, don't be fools. If you think Manchin is just like your side, if he agrees with you, if you think he's worth supporting, well, then make him support it. But if he deserts you on an important financial issue like this, to me, Treasury-wrecking financial package, I think you should tell him, we're done with you. We don't care what you do. Don't count on us. We won't help you. We're going to find the best possible candidate to run against you. And I think that might knock some sense into the man. But I think this is a lesson for both Democrats and Republicans. If you're counting on traitors or fair-weather friends of the other party to serve your political interests, I don't care if that's in Washington or in Albany or in your city hall, show some principle. Don't just sell out for the sake of a legislative or other majority. Stand your ground, stand up for your principles, and if this fake conservative or leftist, for that matter, is just dragging you along based on his reputation, you should stand your ground, because these little players are nothing in the scheme of international politics and domestic finance, and in history, they are nothing. Parties, Republicans in this case, stand your ground. Make Manchin come through and tell him if he supports this financial game by Schumer and the bunch, he's going to suffer. This is the Steve Mayo, Lou Felicione show. We're on WVOX Mondays at 5:30 p.m. Up to our first break, and we'll be right back.
There's always something happening on Westchester's Hometown Forum. 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
This is Steve Mayo of Lou Felicione's Steve Mayo Show here on WVOX Mondays at 5:30 p.m. WVOX 1460 AM. Call in number 914-636-0110. Right now we're on the phone with Bruce. And just remember, please, if you want to catch up on recent shows, past shows, and some writings from me and people I know and friends and supporters, please go to the Steve Mayo website. That's the SteveMayoShow.com website. Bruce, hi.
Well, I don't know where I dropped off.
It happens. Start all over again. We're at a certain age.
Well, I'm going to be more efficient, so you're going to look.
Go ahead.
We were talking about Senator Joe Munchkin from West Virginia. And we were talking about the renewables and the legislation he was signing.
Yes.
There's a bunch of problems. Number one, they're not ready. They only do a few percentage points of all the energy in the United States. They're just not ready, that we don't have enough. They're not reliable.
We're talking about the renewables. Wind and solar right now, yes.
Yeah, they're not reliable. It gets dark, okay? It gets dark a lot more in the winter.
It sure does.
Well, it just does. We can't change that. They'd like to, but you can't change that it gets dark. It also gets cold, and those little windmill thingies, which are very elegant, they get frozen.
Of course.
None of this is affordable. It costs you so much energy to make this equipment, and it's extremely expensive. All right? And it's just not, it's not going to be effective in the peak power. It's just not. And it's such a horrible waste, and it's based on a total fraud about carbon dioxide, a total fraud about methane, and a total fraud about nitrous oxide or laughing gas, whatever they call it.
Well, just think about it, Bruce. Think about this, Bruce. This is a senator from the great state of West Virginia, a coal-producing entity it is, West Virginia, very important to their economy and to employment. And I personally hope that fossil fuels will become increasingly cleaner, which they have. I believe in the past 25 years, carbon emissions have declined in general effect by about 22% thanks to aggressive technologization in the United States and abroad. And Manchin will sign on to this budget busting and technological busting bill for what? To stay allied with Chuck Schumer, and the Republicans tolerate this and don't threaten him with a candidate.
Yeah, and while we're picking on him, you got to remember there are 49 other Munchkins that are going along with this show.
Of course,
you know, and it's just. You know what we'll do? You've got the SteveMayoShow.com website, right?
Absolutely.
Let's put up, I'll write something up for you that can go on your little website.
And it's not a little website. Now, hold on a second. It's not a little website. It's a big website. Go ahead.
The SteveMayoShow.com is a great website. I've seen it, been on it. We got some stuff on it. We'll write some stuff up about all of this carbon dioxide malarkey. The whole thing is fake. It's tragic. It's tragic in what they're doing to us.
And wouldn't it be wouldn't it be nice to hear from a national Republican, I don't care what state he's from or she's from, to take Manchin to task here, Mr. Munchkin? He probably went to the same school with New York Governor Kathy Hochul, right? the school of bad puns. Let's face it, but a Republican Party that refuses to stand up to a spineless Democrat, never mind spineless Republicans, is a party not to be taken seriously.
Well, the problem is we know, well, the Democratic Party is just corrupt, top to bottom, president, everybody on down. Unfortunately, the Republican Party is, A, not so great themselves, and B, not addressing it. They turn their backs. They should be all over this energy thing and this scam. It's arithmetically a scam. We'll put that up on your site, too.
Very true.
Arithmetrically a scam.
And let's face it, if the Republicans don't take this information to the people, if they don't promote our side of the ledger, which is not pro-pollution, but it's pro-common sense. I don't know about you, Bruce, but in the state of New York, we hear all over the place the talk about common sense Democrats. It's a favorite slogan of theirs during primary campaigns. After the primary's won and they're safely nominated, you don't hear about common sense from Democrats. I want to hear from common sense Republicans talking sense, and that should be 365 days a year. You don't hear it at all. And the other thing, I know you follow the news. Have you read, even covered by the New York Times over the weekend, I don't read the Times much anymore, but this story I couldn't resist. West Germany is revisiting coal, and it's revisiting, I think you talked to me about it last week, nuclear power re-entering that field.
Well, you have these small modular nuclear power units now, which is like super-duper Legos, where you can build your nuclear power based upon your needs in the area. And these the SMRs is something small, modular, something or others. And these things, this is really a good idea. And we have a lot of nuclear power sailing in and out of New York Harbor when the military comes in, and I don't think people know it.
Isn't it amazing?
There's a lot of nuclear ships been running for decades and decades with no problems. We could plop these things around all over the place. I have a hunch that you're going to see Africa and you're going to see South America pulling up and getting ahead in the energy department, because they'll take on the nuclear power plants, these little plants, and put them into place and not worry about shipping in oil or shipping in coal or anything else.
No, you're absolutely right. And let's face it, who's the biggest presence on the African continent today? One guess, China. They have been there for years now with their Belt and Road Initiative, where they've invested billions, probably more, in local development, not just in Africa, but South Asia, South America. They're gaining the trust, at least the dependency, or the dependence of the newer nations around the world. And America, to our shame, I think, is giving up that lead position, which we mastered for the longest time through the Peace Corps and other great idealistic endeavors. I think you're right. I think alternative energy is going to come to the fore again, and in the third world. Unless we move fast, China's going to grab the leadership mantle, and we'll be standing there with our tongues hanging out looking stupid.
Well, it'll be worse than that. We're going to have trouble with our food supplies. By the way, remember Trump talked about buying Greenland?
Yes.
Well, I looked that up, and the first thing I found out about Greenland is it's got a whole bunch of rare earth metals. And had we bought Greenland, we would have solved our problem in supplying our telephones and everything else, computers and everything else. Well, guess who's up there buying into the mining companies?
Do I get my guess again? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
China, very smart.
Okay, you got it.
I would say Russia, too, because they think rather strategically. And again, our nation, next to last or last in this contest, and you just wonder where we're going to get our brains back or our common sense back. I mean, let me just ask you, you haven't spoken on this, at least in the last few days. Pelosi, it looks like she's going as of today in this soap opera. Is she going to Taiwan?
I saw that a little while before you went on, yeah.
Yeah, and again, I personally support Taiwan. I think they're brave. They used to call them plucky little countries. I think they're great. Not perfect. They're not a perfect Republican democracy. They know some dictatorial ways, but let's face it, much preferred to the mainland red Chinese. But still, this is not a fight we should pick. Or what do you think?
Well, I think that you've got a problem with Taiwan. Where do you think our chips are coming from? They make something in the neighborhood of 70 to 80% of all computer chips on Earth. They got a dozen or 14 super-duper major plants, far in excess technologically-wise than anything we have here. And they supply China with their chips. They supply us with our chips. And I'm going to tell you something. If I were the Taiwanese and China attacked, I'd just blow up those 12 plants, pick up my scientists, and move to the United States, like we did with the rockets and Germany and Wernher von Braun. We got the top rocket scientists out of Germany, and the next thing you know, 20 years later, we're on the moon.
Of course.
So and, we just need to pick these people up and bring them back.
No, I think you're right. I think a better measure would be to pick our fights. And again, Taiwan represents decency. in the scheme of things, in the moral equations of South Asia or the Western Pacific. And yes, we should stand with Taiwan when it doesn't threaten us militarily or threaten our interests. But if we can quiet an issue and not make a big deal about it, let's choose that route because it's relatively free. It's quite cheap. And I think it's worth standing up for principle until it really hurts us. Can you stay over the break, Bruce?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to stay on this topic, which you were talking so expansively about last week. I'd like to continue. This is the Steve Mayo-Lou Felicione Show. We're on the air with Bruce.